counter-force, counter-value, counter-earth. Grandiose military strategies are designed by nations as much to deter aggression as to undertake it. In the post-World War II era, foreign policy strategists designed a policy of containment, contained communist regimes within their borders so that the ideology of communism could not be spread. This policy was followed in 1954 by one of massive retaliation. The idea here was to avoid having the free world nibbled to death by creeping communist-inspired wars, such as the Korean War in the early 1950s. If you crossed some unspecified threshold, you would be met not with an equal and opposite force, but with a massive strike, all or nothing. Following that, with the election of a new president, each president seems to want to define his own unique military doctrine, then Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara proposed counterforce as an anti-communist strategy. The basic idea is that military might would focus on the military might of the enemy and not on its citizens. Thus, cities were not to be attacked directly, but were more or less to be held hostage, a trump card, so to speak. To strike at people was called counter-value strategy, i.e., terrorize the population to prevent an enemy government from initiating a conflict, or to let them know that if counterforce failed, counter-value would follow. Perhaps the best example of counter-value strategy today would be terrorist activities in various countries around the globe. What is the military objective of mortar attacks on marketplaces and sniping at people seeking food and water on the streets and in the alleyways? Clearly, this siege is designed to break the will of a population. War stinks, but war on innocent people stinks even more. Such attacks are not crimes against an enemy. They are crimes against humanity. The end of the Cold War in the early 90s and the retreat by former superpowers from using proxy wars, in which such countries as Vietnam, South Korea, and Germany served as stand-ins for the major powers, a new strategy seems to have emerged, counter-Earth. This involves wanton attacks on the Earth, allegedly to bring about some military objective or financial gain. The use of drift nets trapping anything that crosses their path, or the indiscriminate use of mercury in the search for gold in the Amazon rainforest are examples of counter-Earth activities. One of the most blatant examples of counter-Earth would be the Kuwait fires, when retreating Iraqi troops torched about 700 oil wells. This had nothing to do with the Iraqi war effort. It was an attack on the Earth, pure and simple. Another example is the indiscriminate use of landmines. There are an estimated 100 million of them in the ground worldwide, and the number seems to grow. They continue to function long after conflicts have ended, making unsuspecting people their victims and rendering large expanses of territory useless. Another example of counter-Earth is Saddam Hussein's strategy of draining swamps in the southern part of Iraq. The purpose was to destroy the ecosystem that supported the culture and livelihood of the so-called swamp Arabs who had opposed Saddam's regime. Whereas counterforce and counter-value are solely military doctrines, counter-Earth is a strategy that has been used in both war and peace. It is something to watch out for in future years as the number of small wars around the globe increases and the pressures on governments to achieve higher levels of economic development mount.